Live from State Street in the heart of Chicago, you are listening to the new home of the Chicago Bears, ESPN Chicago. And this is Carmen and Yurko, WMVP, WSHE, HD2, Chicago, a Good Karma Brands radio station.
Hope you're having a good day. Carmen and Yurko back together after a week apart. We're live in our State Street studios. All right, tomorrow, out and about, Southside, Court and Carry at the park, getting ready for White Sox opening day. We'll be on until 2:30. And then Connor will have your first pregame, the first official pregame of the 2024 campaign here in your home for White Sox baseball. They open up against the Tigers. The Cubs are on the road opening up against the defending champs. That'll be a primetime game tomorrow night. We're going to be at Bernie's on Monday, so you can start next week with us. You can start it bright and early with Cap and Hoodie. They're going to be live at Bernie's in Wrigleyville, right by the ballpark, starting at 7 a.m. We'll join the guys for Crosstalk at 10. We're going to be on 10 until 12:30 on Monday, live from Bernie's, getting ready for Cubs opening day. And the White Sox will open up a three-game series that day against probably the best team in baseball, the Atlanta Braves, on the south side. So that's why we're going to jump on a little early. We'll preempt Greeny, and we'll be off at 12:30. But starting at 7, you can come by and see the ESPN Chicago crew live at Bernie's. And I know Cap said that he did talk to Jed Hoyer, and Jed Hoyer is going to swing by and join them at some point early in the morning, probably around 8 or 9 o'clock.
Oh, wonderful.
Over at Bernie's. Yeah, absolutely.
Great.
I bumped into Jed last year when we were doing the show right after Cap and Hoodie at Old Crow. He had just finished his hit with the guys, and he was walking out. Said hi to Jed for a second. So there's the rundown for opening day. All right, if you want to talk Bears, 312-332-3776, you can ring us up. We've had a lot of good Bears conversation, even some fun baseball talk today. And we'll give you more of a breakdown and a preview tomorrow. We'll give you some of our season predictions for 2024. Jesse will join us live in Philly. He's being dispatched by the mothership, by Bristol, to a very big game to start the series, a season in Philadelphia between the Braves and the Phillies. And then he'll join us on the phone. Connor McKnight will join us live at Cork and Carry around 12:30. And Brooks Boyer will talk about some of the new fare that's going to be provided and some of the fun things happening, some of the interesting dates in terms of promotions on the south side tomorrow. Let's go to Dane in Edgewater. Hello, Dane.
What's up, guys? Can you guys hear me?
Yes, we can.
All right, so I think we all know that Cale's going to be a Bear, but I feel like there hasn't been that much conversation of where else the other QBs are going to go, like Jaden Daniels, Drake May, Adrian McCarthy. Where do you guys think these guys are going to land?
Good question, man. There's a lot of... That's hard to answer right now. There's a lot of weird, like, disinformation stuff that happens this time of year.
The Bears get a quarterback.
For sure. Caleb, that's happening.
Washington gets a quarterback.
Yes, which one, though, I think is what Dane's asking.
Right, I got you. I'm just saying I got to get the teams first. Okay. I think
New England?
Denver ultimately gets a quarterback. Minnesota gets a quarterback. And, New England gets a quarterback. So there's five quarterbacks that will get picked. And then Penix or Bo Nix ends up landing somewhere.
Let me ask you guys this question. First five picks, over under 3.5, which way would you go? Quarterbacks being selected under in the first five picks.
But that's a great question.
I would go over.
Wow, so you're going to have all four.
Well, the fifth pick is key there, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
The fifth pick is San Diego's, right?
But somebody
San Diego can slide out. Yeah.
Somebody can go up.
That's what I'm saying. San Diego would slide out. San Diego's got multiple issues they need to handle.
I could see it being just as likely Arizona would trade that pick too.
I could too.
If the Giants want to move up like two spots or something to guarantee.
I'm rethinking it now. You might be right. You guys might be right. Four quarterbacks in the first five picks.
Guess who's waiting for you back at
Roma Dunze.
Yeah, he's waiting for the Bears at 9.
Has that ever happened?
Roma Dunze.
Has four quarterbacks and five picks ever happened?
Four quarterbacks and five. I don't remember that happening. I remember the first three in 99,
yep.
But then your next guys weren't taken until 12 and 19, I believe.
That is wild. Bobby's in Milwaukee. What's going on, Bobby?
Guys, thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
Wanted to talk quarterback contracts, and wanted to start with a question for you guys. Is it the goal of every team to win the Super Bowl every year?
That's the goal, but sometimes it's not a realistic goal. Right. I think the goal of every team is to get to the playoffs.
Okay.
Every team can have a goal of getting to the playoffs, but I think some of those teams, there's probably about eight teams that believe they could win a Super Bowl out of 32.
The reason I ask is you guys were talking about quarterback contracts with Brock Purdy a little bit ago. And I'm really against paying most quarterbacks, and here's why. There were four market-level extensions given out to quarterbacks last offseason. Went to Herbert, Hurts, Burrow, and Lamar Jackson. Each of those contracts takes up, on average, 20% of their respective team's cap during the life of the deal.
Yep.
Right? Now, the cap's going to continue to go up, especially if Taylor Swift keeps coming to games, and those numbers will come down. But the reality is that even for those contracts to get to, like, 13% by year five is unrealistic. Since 2000, there have been three quarterbacks that have won the Super Bowl in the same year that they've taken up 12.5% or more of their team's cap. Mm. Those three guys are Brady, Manning, and Mahomes. So they can't just be a top 10 guy. They can't just be a top 5 guy. They have to be one of the best quarterbacks, like, ever, if your team is going to win a Super Bowl with a market-level extension quarterback. I think San Fran should trade Purdy. I think it's easy, as opposed to, you know, paying big money for a guy that, like, I mean, would he be this good in, like, Jacksonville or Indianapolis?
I don't know. It's a good question. Probably not. Probably not.
No way. No, I mean, like, the offensive weapons help absolutely, but they have studs. They have blue chippers all over their defense, keeping points scores low. You know, I think he's a total product of that system. I'm not trying to bash the guy. He's a good player.
Yeah.
But is he worth 20% of your cap? Absolutely not.
I mean,
and
so
Justin
how many
Herbert,
guys
for that matter, is not worth it either.
How many guys would you have on that list right now? Mahomes, obviously.
Mahomes. I mean,
Burrow.
Like the conditions. Well, maybe. I mean, we'll see. Like, they're about to give out a big extension to Ja'Marr Chase probably next year. They have a lot of cap space now, but you know, the defense is getting older. They haven't drafted especially well in some places. I would say Lamar only because the Ravens could, like, build an entire team with the 5th, 6th, 7th round picks that they've hit on the last few years.
Yeah, I know.
So
they're good at that.
They're creating savings in that way, and I love Lamar. But, like, Jalen Hurts, no way.
No.
Justin Herbert, no way.
Allen?
They're just – no. Mm. I mean, look at how their team is falling apart this year. They had to, like, mortgage
half their roster. They did. They had to,
you know, and we'll find out. We'll find out with Herbert, and we'll find out with Allen this year. But those teams are going to continue to run into homes. Good. And, you know, unless they're drafting out of the park,
right?
I think it's a bad investment.
Good call, Bobby. Good conversation.
All right.
Hey, buddy. I love Herbert. Everybody knows that. I've been on Herbert since his last year at Oregon.
You've been on him, all right.
Not literally, proverbially. Proverbially. Is he worth the money they gave him? I don't know. I think he's special. And I think with a coach like Harbaugh, some of their personnel decisions maybe were a little curious this offseason. But, like, if they get one of these top receivers, like, with Harbaugh, if we're going to put some faith and trust in him, I'll put a little. Not as much as Waddle and Sylvie, but I'll put some. Like, I think Herbert can be very special. I think there's elite stuff in Justin Herbert.
So Josh Allen this year, you agree Josh Allen's a pretty good player, right?
Yeah, like Bobby brings up a good point. They're purging because of Josh Allen, but, like, I'd want to try to win with Josh Allen if he was my quarterback.
You still get back easier because you have Josh Allen.
Yeah, I mean, like, I feel like I can win 10 games every year because of Josh Allen.
His cap hit this year is only $30 million.
That's not bad.
So it's about 12% of your salary cap.
Not bad.
So with that, you could win.
Now, Bobby had a good point. Like, only three quarterbacks in the last 20 years, he said, right, with 12% or more have won the Super Bowl. Wow.
So you go next year, it'll be $60 million.
Oof.
That'll be the cap hit on
Double.
Josh Allen. That's where it goes up. Yeah. So you want to be able to win something before it jumps up.
Like now.
Because that's when you've got to make the decisions. The same way they had to pay in Baltimore
Flacco.
When they had to pay Joe Flacco. They had to say goodbye to a bunch of people. That's just the way it goes. It's the way it works.
Mirko was on that one.
It's not fun. It's not exciting.
So
it's not position A that you want to have, but it is a position nonetheless.
You know, when we do, like, every year, we'll get ready for ramping up into the season. It'll be like the quarterback tier thing, you know, that, like, Mike Sando does. And, you know, who's worth that? Like, what truly is tier one? Is tier one Patrick Mahomes and that's it? And then there's everybody else?
And your guy Herbert doesn't go crazy until 2028. That's when $71 million
is, that right?
Is his cap hit.
And now if he's great and they're winning, like, they can always find clever ways to restructure that year.
100% you can find clever ways to do it.
Yeah.
But his cap hit this year, 2024, is only $19 million.
That's no problem.
So, you know, for all these problems that you could theoretically have, you don't really have these problems when you break down the contract. You see the contract, you see how big it is, but it's cap hit that causes you problems.
They were in cap hell because of Bosa and Mack, and they got
and their receivers.
And their receivers.
Michael Williams and Keenan Allen.
And Keenan Allen wouldn't restructure. That's why they traded him, and the two defensive guys restructured. So
right.
That helped.
And,
them.
Like, Derwin James, who hasn't been as awesome.
Yeah, as everybody
wants
to think.
They made a lot of mistakes.
Yeah. Derwin's good, but, like, I kind of agree. Probably not as awesome as everybody wants to think. It was a good conversation. Good phone call by Bobby. It's tough business, man. And, God, if you wish you did just have Mahomes, things are a lot easier, even when you have to pay that guy. You don't think twice about it. You don't lose sleep at night. Yeah, it's a lot of money, but he's tier one. He's the guy. And, you know, for the foreseeable future, that ain't going to change. Kevin's in Morris. What's up, Kev?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Great.
Yeah, I wanted to call. I jumped on and listening when you guys were just finishing up a conversation with a gentleman talking about the offensive line, and I just wanted to call in and say I absolutely agree with him. I think even if Rome Odunze or one of those wide receivers is there and Joe Alt or a stud offensive lineman's there, I think you have to take him.
If Joe Alt's there, they're taking him, Kevin.
Okay, good, because yes. I think offensive line is so important, especially if Caleb Williams, if he is who they say he is remotely, he should be able to elevate the play of individuals around him. And Lance Briggs says this all the time. In order to win like they did when they went to the Super Bowl, you know, in 05, they had stud offensive line and defensive line that got Rex Grossman there. So I think it's really important, as Briggs says, to build that trenches.
Yeah. No, absolutely, Kevin. You're right. Couple things here. Joe Alt won't be there. Okay. If Joe Alt is there, I feel as confident
as
saying
anything.
The Bears will draft him, as confident as I am saying that Caleb Williams is going to be selected number one overall by the Bears. And that's at like 99%. If Joe Alt is there, they're taking Joe Alt. That ain't going to happen.
Yeah. I have a feeling, but he's not going to be there.
He's not. But you would agree. If he's there, they're taking him.
Come Thursday night at 9, if Joe Alt's there,
they're taking
him. You'd be scratching your head going, what in the world is going on?
And you're taking him.
Yeah.
I think so. I think that's a fair and safe bet. 312-332-3776. Sit tight. We got some time for a few more phone calls. We're going to crosstalk with Waddle and Tyler. Tyler's in for Sylvie today. Sylvie will be back from vacation tomorrow. So crosstalk is around the corner. It's Carmen and York. We'll be right back.
Working from home?
We're back in the office.
Don't miss a minute of Carmen and Yurko. Just ask your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Hey, I don't know if you've heard me talking about Wee Whiskey Fest, W-E-E, Wee Whiskey Fest up in Wisconsin. It's in Lake Geneva.
When is it?
It is April 19th, 20th, and 21st. I'm going to be up there Saturday at the Grand Tasting,
right,
doing an appearance in the afternoon, like 2 to 4 probably, but I'm
sure
going to stick around for some of the festivities at night. They've got, like, go to their website. It's WeeWhiskeyFest.com. It's W-E-E, WeeWhiskeyFest.com. They have so much going on in and around Lake Geneva, Williams Bay, Fontana, like Pier 290's got stuff one night. They've got stuff downtown Lake Geneva on Saturday. They've
got some music, I'm assuming.
Music. Cocktail contests. The Ridge is going to host the Grand Tasting right there on Route 50. Like, tons of stuff. And
beautiful.
An incredible list of distillers. So whiskey fans, like, so close to Chicago, for a great weekend up in Wisconsin, like, check it out. And I'm excited. This is the first time they're ever doing this. Like I said, I'll be up there making an appearance on Saturday afternoon at the Grand Tasting, but I'll be up there for a lot of the weekend. And I think it's going to be fantastic. I can't wait. It's April 19th, 20th, and 21st in Lake Geneva. And I'm telling you, it's all around the lake. There's stuff on the Lake Geneva side. There's stuff
everywhere
on the Fontana side,
sure,
in Williams Bay. Like, it's just going to be great. WeeWhiskeyFest.com, W-E-E.
Are the Youpers going to be playing there?
I don't know if the Oopers are going to be.
The Youpers. Upper Peninsula.
I know what it is. I don't know. I think they've got some killer acts, though. I don't know if it's going to be the Youpers.
They
though.
Sing 30 Point Buck.
That's the one that you used to always play for us. The opening week of Deer Camp.
The second week of Deer Camp. And all the guys are here. We drink the beer. We shoot the bull. We never shoot no deer. That's the second week of Deer Camp. The other one is 30 Point Buck.
We shoot the bull. We never shoot no deer. That's a great line.
That's a great line. The lyricists up there is what they are.
That is a great line. Joe's, hey, speaking of north of the border, Joe's in Kenosha. What up, Joe?
Good afternoon, guys. Thanks
taking the call.
You got it. Thank you.
I think that the Bears have been so, you know, mediocre for so long that people are having a hard time getting around, you know, their head around the idea that we are getting much better. That being said, obviously, if Joe Alt is available, obviously you're going to take him, but I agree. I doubt he'll be there. But bottom line is, to the one call, hey, we beat Detroit in one game, and we should have beat him in the second. And this Caleb Williams, he's great at off-schedule plays too, but he is a rookie, so he's going to make his share of rookie mistakes. And he's going to have to get accustomed to the game. But all things being equal, I think we're going to be much better than a lot of people expect. And, you know, the bottom line is we could always stand an upgrade on the offensive line and the defensive line for that matter. But I like the direction we're headed, and I think we've got a good general manager. Thanks, guys.
You got it. Thanks, Joe. Yeah, still need another pass rusher. That might come via the draft. Matt Miller from ESPN.com did his new full 7-round mock. Got the Bears taking Williams at one. He's got that dream scenario Yurko was talking about where the fight over the quarterbacks means four go before you're on the clock again at nine, or like three others after you draft Caleb Williams. And Roma Dunze would be sitting there. He's got the Bears taking a Dunze. Then with that 75th pick, Jonah Ellis out of Utah. We talked a little earlier about we always like the pedigree of some of those Utah defensive guys. Look no further than Jalen Johnson, but especially on that line, man, that Kyle Whittingham has made a name for himself in that conference, Yerk, because he has out-physicaled most teams over the years. His teams have been more nasty, more physical, and, you know, you tell me a pass rusher whose dad played in the league for a long time, was a contemporary of Yerko's, his dad played in Detroit a long time, like, okay, makes some sense. They definitely need another pass rusher, though.
They do. And
I think they're going to be looking for it with one of those last couple of picks that they have if they don't
have
anything
else. They're not going to have a choice. Hopefully there's going to be a depth there.
Yeah.
Hopefully you're going to be able to find guys that deep. That's why I always thought if they got out of nine,
yeah, maybe,
you know, maybe acquired a little something else. Something in the second move down, Chop Robinson's the guy
you like
that
Chop.
I kept talking about.
You like Chop Robinson.
He's got the speed. You know, speed is good.
The Vegas win total right now, the early one, and these are tough before the schedule comes out, Yerk. 8.5 for the Bears. Juice to the over. -$1.35 to the over.
But you know who they're playing. You know the away schedule. You know the home schedule. One of the home games is going to be in London.
But the rest edge thing is always interesting. I do. Yeah. I think there's something significant to that. Warren Sharp does a great job of that. So you do kind of want to see how it plays out. Yeah, where's that London game? What kind of travel is before and after? Are the Bears going to choose? Because isn't it now that the team gets to choose if they want their bye right after one of the international games? I think they allow the team to choose. And
probably then that bye would then be probably sometime in the middle of October. Don't you think?
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah, you look at the international dates or FA Cup dates or any of those dates
October.
In Europe.
Yeah.
When they play, usually the second week of October is when the soccer teams get away to play international duty.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, all the stadiums open up.
Yeah.
And that's when the NFL action takes place.
Eric in Northlake. What's up, Eric?
Hello.
Hello. What's up, Eric?
Hey, guys. How's your day going?
Great.
Good, good, good.
That's good to hear. I'm just calling to get your guys' opinion. I've been seeing this on the internet for a while, and I kind of agree with it. If Joel isn't at the ninth pick, you think taking Brock Bowers would be a good option? Since technically, I mean, you could play him at receiver, and he's a really good blocker. He's fast. He can run routes. He's stronger than any other receiver that they would take.
Well, you could run one back, two tight end sets, two wide receivers, and allow the flexibility of keeping them in base defense.
Yeah, they have
and
two
then
tight ends,
flexing though. And flexing Bowers out though.
Oh yeah, I guess I see what you're saying. All right, Eric, thanks. I think it's probably a luxury that they can't really afford right now. That's just me personally. He might be a great player. Probably will be, but that's interesting. So you're not really using him as a tight end. You're using him as
You're using him as a tight end, so the other team has to recognize him as a tight end.
Okay.
And they won't shift to nickel then. They'll keep their base defense
out
there.
Them out.
Then you can do whatever you want with them. You put them in motion. But you can make three receivers on the side.
You paid Komet, and you just signed another tight end. You signed Gerald Everett. I mean, how many?
How many tight ends can you have?
That's what I'm saying, I guess. Like, I feel like they're already going to be in a lot of 12 personnel with those two.
Are there too many? I mean, I could see if you're at 9 and he falls to 9 where you could take him. I can make an argument for it.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I can make an argument. I don't think that's what they're going
to
do.
To me, probably a luxury they can't afford right now, but interesting to think about, I guess. Because I think he's a special talent, that's for sure. Ken's in Elk Grove. What's up, Ken?
Not much. Hey, Yerk, I also have a copy of that Ubert album.
Dude,
the second week of Deer Hunt. Haven't shot no deer.
That's great. Yeah. I love it.
Drink the beer. Hey, but with this new kickoff thing, wouldn't you want to draft more tight ends and maybe linebackers to fill the holes on special teams?
Well, the young guys are going to be playing special teams for you, so you've got plenty of those guys.
But defensive backs get pancaked on special teams all the time.
No, you've got a mix of guys. Your running backs, your defensive backs, your linebackers. And then, your backup tight ends are going to be special team players. Some of your defensive linemen, they've got to step up. And they've got to go play special teams in the coverage units. I mean, that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
Okay, Yerk, with that in mind, can you kick off like a soccer ball, lay it flat, and have that thing spinning in the air? Or directional,
you can
try
kick
to
off,
put
you,
it into a section
you can
and then
kick
flood
off
that area?
Any way that you want to do it. Any way you want to kick off. You can use a tee. You don't have to use a tee. If you wanted to punt the ball instead of kicking it off, you could.
I think Ken's also asking, if you laid it flat on the ground, do you think you could kick it soccer style where the ball gets elevation? It's such a different shape.
It's a different shape, but I think the kicker can get his foot underneath
it. You think so?
Yeah.
It'd be kind of interesting to make it spin funny and really mess teams up. I don't know. Let's go to Tom.
You don't think kickers haven't tried different things? That's why you've seen so many different types of onside kicks.
I'm sure.
Remember when they used to beat the ball on the ground, get it to jump way up in
the
air?
Yeah, no, I'm sure. Tom's in Oklahoma. What up, Tommy?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. So, listening over the years and today and every day, so I'm just like, I'm really, like, upset with the Bears organization and I don't know what to believe going into this season because I just don't have any faith in the organization, not the players, but I just don't know. I feel like everything they do it wrong. They got their head handed to them by the Packers twice.
Yep.
And I guess I will have to wait like October, November to see what I'm going to believe in with this Bears. And I've been a Bears fan my whole life. I'm 59 years old. But that's all I want to say. I don't trust the organization.
All right. Tommy, listen, you approach it any way you like. That's your right, man. I mean, okay. I think there's different leadership now. Hopefully that they finally found some good leaders that can help fix the problems that have ailed them. I'm a little bit more hopeful than I've been in years past because I think the early returns are pretty good. So you attack it any way you like, but, you know, let's hope maybe Tom calls back in November. He's like, guys, I wanted to wait, but they're 9-3. Everything looks rosy.
Everything looks rosy.
We'll see. We'll see. Let's grab one more about Dave on 290. Go ahead, Dave.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I went to USC and I watched every game that Caleb Williams played, and the guy's incredible. Really excited to watch him play. I think the way that the Bears have attacked the offseason, surrounding a lot of weapons in the receivers and then fortifying the offensive line, it's been really huge. This past year, the USC's offensive line was a fucking joke.
Yeah.
And his best receiver is Jerry Rice's kid.
Yep.
Who's, you know, no offense to him, but, you know, pretty average.
Right.
Average receiver coming from Jordan Addison. So I'm really looking forward to the Bears taking him. And he could sling the rock all over the field. The two bad games, if you want to look back at, and I was, you know, unfortunate. I go every year watching them lose at Notre Dame, and they couldn't run for a yard. And then at Oregon State was like a miracle win, but he didn't play very well.
Yeah.
But other than that, I mean, the guy's pretty flawless.
All right.
I'm extremely pumped. That 9th pick, if there's good value, trade out of it. If you don't have your guy,
trade out of it. Go get like lot two or a D end, and they get if there's real good value, let's go get it.
I think they will.
Go get your guy.
I think they will, Dave. And but if a guy like they might love Adunze enough to be like he's too good to pass up. Alt certainly would fit that bill. He won't be there. We just have to see how the board plays out. But the more quarterbacks in that top eight, the better. Like Yurko always said, we'll see. Crosstalk's coming up next. The listener with the Yurko sign has the final word.
Carmen and Yurko present today's final word.
Because you had to be a big shot, didn't you? You had to open up your mouth.
Today's final word.
You had to have a last word.
On Carmen and Yurko.
He made it around the block, Carm.
Oh, look, our guy's
going around. This guy's got some sweet stuff. Got carbonara.
Smells Yurko's carbon. Carmen's carbonara. He's just walking around in circles.
He's
like
changing
different
the thought bubbles, too. But, he's changing the thought bubbles.
Zoning out on that Zoom meeting? Zoom. Find out what Carmen and Yurko were talking about. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Thanks to Courtney Cronin for joining us today. Thanks for listening and calling. Come on, we had a fun show, and great job by Chris Bleck and Charlie Bevins.
Carm, I got to tell you, I was touched today when I got in a car to come down. I came down a little early, and I heard you talk about how much you'd missed the good kid.
Yeah.
And having the good kid back was really important.
He's my rock.
And made you.
That's a long time, Tommy.
What? I mean. Oh my. Jesus, oh Mary and Joseph, my. I'm trying to help you,
something's
buddy.
Something's going on.
My God.
Yeah, no, I was way ahead of
why
you.
Why do you think
went
I,
that way, Chris? You're
I,
walking
I hit you like six times and you didn't respond.
Man, a lot.
You must be in love.
What's going on?
Wow.
I'm just Jeez. Speaking, but I was
struck in the arm. You were being emotional.
I was moved.
Me and Carmen, you talked about the relationship. You catch something out of the corner of your eye, and you started having spasms.
I'm glad we got a little
friend. Just trying to help you, buddy.
I appreciate it. I caught a gander.
Did you?
Yeah.
Very late, though.
Late gander, but maybe some might even say the most important.
That's right.
Aspect of that.
I don't think so.
Maybe.
No.
Maybe.
I don't know. I think we saw the.
Thank you.
I don't think so. I think if you think a little bit longer about
Done deal.
You have no idea.
Well, I mean,
what if there was a pirouette and you turn around and next thing,
Well, come on.
Boy, you should have seen the sight we saw a little bit earlier.
Getting crazy.
All right. I'm not getting crazy.
We had a lovely young couple that were getting married.
Right. I saw. When I walked in, I saw them taking pictures.
Lovely, lovely young couple.
Wait, Johnny, I was going to actually step in front of the window and look at you and give you some sort of sign.
Unbelievable.
But I figured it was bad taste. I just walked in.
I don't judge. All women are beautiful. Yeah, some are more beautiful than others. Sure. Remember, Eco once said that to me. We're on 49th, right across from on Drexel, right across from Operation Bush headquarters. We're putting some iron railing fencing in around an apartment building.
Put it around a refrigerator.
And he said, all women are beautiful, Johnny. Some more beautiful than others.
That's right.
It. Just remember that.
Yes.
This young lady had her own beauty.
Yes. You know, you'd think, I swear to God.
She had plenty of it.
Clooney over here, right?
Don't.
I'm not saying anything.
We welcome Waddle and Sylvie. Tyler's in for Sylvie. Sylvie will be back, I think, tomorrow.
We're just poisoning this young lad.
We're poisoning him. No, he's poisoned enough already.
Yeah. What's with the fan club walking by today, Yurk?
It's my guy. Little T.
He comes to our golf outing every year.
Remember the guy that got dressed in the puffy, the Dalmatian costume for one of our first golf tournaments where all the monies went to the paws
thing? Out at Southern Bridges.
He came by today and was tormenting us.
And he had a fishing net?
He had a fishing net that was holding up the picture.
He was using
he had
it
to have
at
a backstop.
What was the picture?
Picture of the kid in 1994 in a throwback uniform.
Yes.
Hung out.
Yeah, he was kind of like this.
Yeah. So I had a couple of them. I went out and signed one of them. I was chasing Eric.
Somebody threw a Vicodin, you know, in the air.
Boy, let me tell you. That's all it would have taken
back in the day.
Yeah. They're taking shots.
Friends like this?
Yeah, who needs enemies?
If it was a Toradol, it would have been me.
You sharing with Brett Favre? What'd you do? Hey. So we took Toradol shots.
I took me Toradol every day to practice in 94.
Shots at the end.
I couldn't practice.
Yeah.
Every day I took Toradol.
Yeah, it's hard on your body.
You know, of course it was. Why do you think I'm a complete mess?
I know.
You are a
mess. It's hard.
Like, I have a nerve problem in my left hip right now. It's the most excruciating pain I've ever had in my entire life.
You seeing anybody about it?
Would you like me to massage it for you?
I don't know if a massage would actually help.
Left hip, outside, inside, where are we at? Medial? Are we close to the iliac crest?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm relying on my buddy,
I'll help you.
Mike Kordecki, who worked for the Bears.
I will drive and elbow someone.
I was in tears yesterday.
Were you?
2 days ago.
Cross fiber? Like, cross friction?
I don't know what it is, man. It's like if you like hit your funny bone, multiply that by 100, and it lasts, and it just 60 times longer.
But what portion of your hip? You're not giving me a lot.
You're not gonna manipulate
I'm not touching
me.
It. Okay. Look.
You're not going to manipulate. It's everywhere, and my shin burns.
His shin burns.
Yeah.
You need a new hip?
He'll probably
no, need because new this hip was, at some listen, point. I moved, so I did a lot more than I should have. Okay. Right. I tweaked my back a couple of times, then I sat down and was doing a stretch.
Do you hang upside down?
I don't. I
do
should.
Do you hang upside down?
I should.
Maybe
you
it's should. Like.
Let gravity do its
could
work.
Could be sciatica.
Sciatica.
Yeah, it's karma. It's the most painful thing I've ever had in my life.
Let gravity do its work. Get the boots. Yeah. Come hang upside down like Richard Gere in that one movie. Hang upside down. Do some abdominal exercises.
I'm with
Let your spine elongate. Yeah. Let those hips go a different direction than how gravity is usually working.
You ever had a pinched nerve?
Oh, no, yeah, not
oh
really.
Oh, my God. It is just.
I mean, I got a lower back issue myself, but.
Like, I couldn't swing it. Like, right now, Carm, the pain is so bad, and the pain when your nerves are firing like this, the rest of your muscles aren't. Like, I couldn't run to the garbage can if I had
brutal.
To.
Well, I don't run much anymore anyway.
Run much?
Yeah, I don't run much.
Well, what if we define much?
Much at all.
Yeah, I mean.
You know what? At our age and what we've put ourselves through, all we should do is walk.
I walk number 4 and number 1. Number 2, the course is down Pinehurst. The guy had it on his Fitbit or doohickey, 7,000 yards.
Yeah.
Like each day. Because, there's walking the tee. It's not just on the golf. Fine. Felt better than I have in a couple years.
That's good.
I did some power walking, man.
It's all we need to do. Cruising. We don't need to run. There's no reason for us to run.
Yeah, you do kind of need to get your heart rate up a little.
But you can do that if you walk.
You can do that if you bicycle.
Yes. Is that your first walking round of the year?
No, I maybe. That's probably my first walking round. Listen, Johnny doesn't like to walk.
If he sees sun, he'll be out there.
Yeah, I'm playing Saturday morning.
I'm playing Saturday, too. Yeah.
It's supposed to be 65 degrees.
Mm-hmm. Saturday's supposed to be nice.
I was supposed to play, but I can't.
I've updated my CDGA. 16.6 index, my friend.
What is it? What did you say it is?
16.6. Sure,
all right, there you go.
What's yours? I can never be doubted.
Mine's like 20-something.
All right.
20.
There he is, right there. Johnny Handsome, handicap number, the whole ball and wax. Right there, 16.6.
Look at you.
You kept it in two digits down at Pinehurst. That's awesome.
95, 97, 91, 90.
It's incredible.
Playing the courses at 7,000.
No 100s?
My caddy down there, usually it's Logan Lockhart. My caddy down there was named Brendan. He played for LSU.
Oh, wow.
He's a plus 6.
Come on, a plus 6?
Plus 6 down there. But listen, that's still not good enough always to get the top 125 on the tour.
What?
Okay? Good golfer. He goes, Logan told me that you could putt. The flat stick's going to be important for you out here. I go, yes. I go, the flat stick is my club. He said that he's never seen anybody traverse their way around Pinehurst number 4 the way I traversed myself around.
That good or bad?
With a flat stick. Yeah.
Good?
Because I was 54 yards out, Texas wedge. There ain't no chipping from them tight lies.
Oh, yeah, you can't. Down there?
Yeah, it's going to be nothing but a nightmare. He knows. Mm-hmm. He's been there. Nothing but a nightmare.
They tell you. The caddies will tell you down there. If you're ever in between... Pull out your putter.
Really?
Pull the putter out.
40 yards away, pull out your putter.
I was 54 yards.
40 yards.
54 yard Texas wedge.
Get out of here. 54 yards.
I've seen him do it.
How close did you stick it?
6 feet.
That's awesome.
I didn't make every putt. But there were a couple that I took from distance that I put probably about 2-3 feet away. I mean, them are
2-3 feet.
Yurko with the Texas wedge.
I love it. That's awesome.
Problem up here is you get the rough and you get the thing. You can't really utilize the Texas wedge up here.
No.
You've got to be able to chip up here, but you got plush grass up here.
People use the hybrid up here.
Kentucky bluegrass.
Did you have the Kukua down there?
No Kukua. It's all.
Is their grass?
It's all Bermuda.
Does their grass Bermuda. Go dormant?
It goes brown.
The rough went dormant. Yes.
Okay.
The rough was dormant. But the fairways were back and the greens were glorious.
Were they? Because the climate's obviously different.
Fairways were phenomenal. Yeah. You got into the rough, you had some dormant stuff going on there. But I am.
Is the course green?
I'm the
or was
king
it a little brown?
Pioneers. I just said it's green.
Yeah,
I said the fairways were green.
Fairways and
the greens were green, but some of the rough was dormant. But they had a couple of spells of real warm weather down there. which allowed the grass to grow a little bit earlier.
This time of year, that's why it's still tough to play golf here, because everything's still dead. We're not quite, you know, you need another 2 weeks or so before after the everything Masters. Comes to life.
After the Masters, we turn green.
Although my grass looks like it's getting close.
I was going to
like,
say, I know a lot of courses.
Getting close.
A lot of courses around here did open up early. Because of the,
we got
a couple pop-up days earlier in the year.
But here's the thing. The warm temperatures don't affect like an early growth the way people think. It's all got to do with the daylight hours. It's not like, oh, it's warmer, it's so things are going to be growing faster.
My magnolias have bloomed already, and it's the earliest they've bloomed ever.
Is that right?
They're boom, and now they're on
the
ground.
When do the magnolias normally? Oh, is that right?
Not now. Usually it's mid-April
for my magnolias.
That seems
pretty early for magnolias. Yeah. In this part of the country, that seems early.
I'm telling you, I should have taken a picture. Boom, flowered, bloomed.
Don't you love what we talk about during crosstalk? The blooming of the magnolias. Yes.
My figs are in the garage. The figs are starting to get, they're buttoned up, my figs.
Are they?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I got to give them some beer.
What do they produce?
Figs.
What do you mean? So I mean, like they produce, do you eat them?
Yeah. Absolutely. Why
you
wouldn't
kidding
you?
Kidding me?
It's a delicacy.
Oh, fantastic.
Where our people are from, it's a delicacy.
Oh my! I mean, we ate figs constantly growing up.
Forever. We love
figs. Fig Newton guy? You're a Fig Newton guy?
No.
I mean, not particularly.
What's a fig taste like? I never had one.
They're
like
sweet. They're delicious.
Sweet.
Fresh figs are delicious.
Full of sweets. Pink on the inside. Pinkish purple.
And Tommy. And they've got just a great sort of texture about them.
It's
kind of got like a soft...
Why don't you bring them in and share?
Sweet texture. They're delicious.
I only get about 40, 45 off the tree. I mean,
it's a delicacy.
You put a little piece of prosciutto or some heart salami with a fig and some wine. I mean, you can't. Come on.
Well,
you don't know.
You're going to another place now.
You get some scotch with that.
Scotch wouldn't be a great mix for that. You'd want wine. You'd want a
little vino.
Red or white wine with some like some hard cheese, prosciutto, and figs.
I was going to say hard cheese. I was going to say hard cheese.
Forget it.
When do the figs start to bloom?
Start to ripen? They're like August.
Okay, so we got some time.
Yeah, we got plenty
of figs
time.
Usually come late in the year.
August for me.
Or peaches in wine, too. Woo, big thing in Italian
families. Would you say you keep them peaches in the garage?
I could eat a peach for hours.
I bet you could.
I'm telling you, delicious.
The juice.
Face off. Great movie.
That's
a line from Face Off. You ever seen Face Off?
The juice running down my chin.
Have you never seen Face Off? I don't know what this kid watches. I
love Face Off. That was John Travolta and Nicolas Cage?
Do I have time for this real quick? Should I tell the story? I was going to tell it.
Yeah, do whatever you want.
We got time. Gio's been... I don't know why. He's been asking me for a couple of years, can I watch Caddyshack? I said, no, when you're 10. I said, you can't watch Caddyshack.
Well, I said,
when you turn 12.
Lacey underalls.
And then the girl in the pool, which I forgot about, and he saw boobies.
Right. Yeah.
For the first time.
Good for him.
I don't know. Maybe not.
These kids
are on the internet. Who knows?
Does he have a phone?
He's got a phone. So,
was his first phone a smartphone?
Yes.
He's seen boobies. Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah. So he says, finally, he just turned 12.
Ever checked his history?
Yeah, we check. We do. He said, all right, I'm 12. You said when I was 12, I watched Caddyshack. And I said, buddy, I got to be honest with you. I said, I told you 12, we can watch it. I said, I got to be honest with you. I love it. I said, the young guys at work who have seen it think it's awful. Yeah. I said, I don't know that it's aged all that well. And I don't think he gets what that means at 12. Like, what do you mean it doesn't age well? But I said, I don't think you're going to think it's all that funny, buddy. I want to watch it. All right. We sat down. We watched. I texted Bleck and Abdallah because they hate it. I don't think you've ever even seen it.
I've seen it.
Oh, you are.
It's fine. Yeah.
So about 25 minutes in, about 25 minutes left, maybe 30 minutes left, and he's restless. I mean, he's on the couch. He's restless. He can't sit still anyway.
You can sense it.
He finally says to me with about 30 minutes ago, he goes, Dad, I don't think I can watch this anymore. I texted Chris and Adam, and they loved it. And I said, well, now we're getting it. I said, listen, they're about to play the big match. Let's at least watch it to the end. He watched to the end. He goes, I don't know, Dad. It's maybe kind of funny, but what's it about? He goes, what's the point? And I said, well, I don't know. I can't really answer what's the point. It's silly. He thought two parts were funny. Two parts he laughed out loud.
I mean, can I guess?
Go ahead.
One was the baby Ruth in the pool.
100%. Yeah. He thought that was hilarious. That will never not be funny. When Bill Murray picks it up and eats the baby Ruth.
And how about either when the priest gets hit by the lightning or Bill Murray's out there swinging at the flowers?
Nope. Not even. Didn't register for 1 second. Right.
You couldn't give him what it was about. It was about a coming of age.
Yes,
young
I was going to say coming of age.
It's barely a coming of age story, guys. I mean, I could give you.
He didn't solidify. It's like Son of a Woman. He didn't solidify his future because the judge wanted to compromise him. And he stayed true to himself.
I never knew Caddyshack could be so deep.
Like Son of a Woman. It's the same similar storyline as Son of a Woman.
That's awesome.
I mean, I can't believe that you couldn't come up with something for your son to give him what the lesson of in the story and the moral
was. There's really not much of a lesson. The other part he laughed out loud is when Ted Knight gets it off the ding-a-ling. And he says, I should have yelled too.
Yeah.
You know, he actually thought that was pretty funny. But, I swear to God, he goes, Dad, I don't think I can watch this anymore. I'm like, I told you.
Do you have a list
Caddyshack
of like...
Caddyshack doesn't age well. Now, he thinks Major League's hilarious. He's seen Major League, loves it. But that movie, like, Major League will always be funny. Always.
Yeah. Do you have a list of, like, 3 or 5 movies where if he doesn't like it, it'll break you?
No, I'm not. I don't take things that seriously. Like, people are like, what if he's not a Sox fan? I'm like, so he's not a Sox fan.
What if he doesn't like The Godfather? He doesn't like
misery, you know? And I'm like, I don't care.
What if he tells people his heritage is American? He doesn't claim his Italian heritage.
What if he doesn't like Goodfellas, Carmen?
If he didn't like Goodfellas, I might be like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah, I might.
What if he puts ketchup on his spaghetti?
That would be awful. Yeah,
there you go. We can find some things that would be awful.
Movie-wise, like Goodfellas, Pulp Fiction.
See him eating pasta and he's cutting it with scissors.
That would be awful.
Break your heart. That's what it would do.
That's a good question, Tyler. Like,
because like my roommate's favorite movie is Jaws. I'd never seen Jaws before. I watched Jaws. I hated it.
Really?
I hated it.
I do love Jaws. See, Gio's actually watched Jaws and didn't hate it. And it's a slow burn in Jaws, man. Yeah. He was young when he watched it, and he actually thought it was kind of cool.
Did you show him Roadhouse?
No, that's probably wait a little bit. That. Maybe wait another year or so.
He's so seen, bad. It's
like,
good.
He's seen all the Raiders movies. He loves those. Those hold up well.
Yeah.
Like the rest
of those shows every now and again.
Action. Yeah. Like,
do you know what shows or movies I still watch too if they're on every now and again is Jurassic Park.
Love it. Yeah.
Yeah, but there were like 27 of them, you know? You fall into the one that wasn't good. It was terrible. It's like they made it in like 6 weeks.
That happens.
You know, they flew to the island, they filmed quick, and they said, let's get the hell out of here. The one with Vince Vaughn in it. That's the one they put. It's like the Transformers. Like the first two or three were great.
Yeah.
Then after that, they started zipping them together with Mark Wahlberg and others.
Yeah.
No good.
Shia LaBeouf was in all
he
of
those. He was in
too,
those first couple. First two.
Yeah.
And after that, Shia said, I've had enough of this.
He's like, forget it. I'm tapping out.
Yeah.
So anyway, I thought it was kind of funny.
That is good.
I was like, I don't think you're going to like this. I kind of knew you. And just judging on their reaction. And I guess I see where they're coming from. Like it's
my kids are 27, 25. They love Caddyshack.
They love Caddyshack?
They loved it.
Hmm. That's interesting.
They loved it. But, you know, they've got taste. So, you know, it's a little bit different.
Well, I love it. I mean, I'll always love it. I think it's hilarious.
You have to come in with the right, you know, approach. That's attitude. The same way with Roadhouse. You have to come in knowing what it is. It is what it is.
Well, show me Animal House. See what
that's a little
same as 1970
Animal House.
That's partying. There's not a lot of nudiness.
Yeah, there's some nudiness.
Just the one girl when all the Kleenex pours out.
Yeah.
Show him
the girl. There's too much. Old school, maybe.
Those are the movies. Those are the movies.
12.
Those are the movies that you got to test on your kid as he gets a little older. Not the Caddyshacks and the other ones. It's the Old Schools and the Wedding Crashers. Those are the ones.
Not Animal House. Not yet. I love Animal House too, but
Wedding Crashers.
There's too much debauchery in that.
Wasn't one of the stories of the animal when Belushi destroys the guitar? That was all
improv.
Improv, wasn't it?
So apparently,
yeah,
that he just kind of went with it. I love
that.
Have you seen Animal House?
Haven't seen Animal House.
Yeah, see,
that's available on Netflix. If you've got the Netflix, it's available on Netflix. The Accountant comes today to Netflix. Love that movie.
The Accountant was good.
The Accountant with Ben Affleck.
Yeah. Very good.
It was good.
Very good.
Like maybe slightly sort of convoluted towards the end, but it was good.
It was good.
I like his brother. His brother's done some stuff in movies.
Barenthal. Yeah, he's good.
I don't know what his name is.
He's in
John Barenthal. He's good.
The Bear?
I like him.
He plays the brother. Yeah. And he was, if you ever watched The Punisher, they only did 2 seasons, but it was awesome.
He was like in the remake of American Gigolo.
He's in Wolf of Wall Street. He's the guy who's like, you know,
Mom,
let him watch.
Chicken or what?
Yeah.
Let him watch.
Yeah.
Mom, we got chicken?
Sell this pen
for me. Is your sister in town?
Let let him watch.
Yeah.
Yeah, like that's John Bernthal. He's great.
Sell this pen for me. Hey, what's 4 plus 4? Boom. Hey, here's a pen. Boom. You got it. No. They gotta create urgency.
I don't love the comic book stuff, but they did 2 seasons on it. I think it was on Netflix. They did 2 seasons where he was the Punisher, and it was fabulous.
Really?
You would love it.
Yeah.
And even if you don't know that comic book character, like Special Forces Marine, you would love it.
Yeah.
It's 2 seasons of John Bernthal just literally kicking ass on a vengeance
and taking
tour
names
at every turn.
That's why Jack Reacher.
Outstanding.
I like Jack Reacher.
You should go back and watch The Punisher. I'm telling you, I can guarantee you, you'll come back and go, that was awesome.
The Punisher?
It's fabulous.
He's not a big guy, though, is he?
Yeah, he's pretty jacked.
Is he?
Yeah, dude,
yeah, it's sort of like Jake Gyllenhaal. Wow, so Jake Gyllenhaal in Roadhouse.
Yeah.
It's so good. He's basically Jake Cantu size, but jacked up.
Jacked. All right, boys, what do you have on the show?
We have Jesse coming up in a little bit, about a half hour from now.
Really scraping the bottom of the barrel there, huh?
Jesse joins us tomorrow at 2, by the way.
Describing life as a Cub fan versus life as a White Sox fan versus life as whoever.
Is he in Philadelphia or Atlanta? Fan? Is he already there?
No, he goes there.
He's going to Philly either tonight. Well, he'll be there tomorrow.
Tonight, he leaves.
Yeah. Tyler's got some Cubs angst.
Okay.
Yeah. Why? Really?
And for good reason.
Don't you believe in Craig Counsell?
I do.
He's the great. He's worth 27 victories this year. That's what I've been told.
Z-Pack was in there telling me. He's like, hey, listen.
He thinks Grifol's worth 27 wins.
He says, look at the D-backs. I said, you shouldn't expect to be the D-backs. If you're the Cubs.
If you're the Cubs.
Yeah. It's not like you overachieve because you're a young team that nobody expects anything out of. You're in the third largest market in all of Major League Baseball. That shouldn't be your approach. Your approach should be that everyone fears you when the season begins.
That's right. Don't fear the Reaper.
Yeah.
Fear the Cubs.
Everyone's sitting around treating the Cubs like they're a small market team.
No, I'm not worried. Are you worried?
Of course.
I'm not worried.
You have major concerns?
I think so, too. I just would have liked to see a little more done.
I don't think the Cardinals. I think the Reds will push that.
I think it'll be Cubs.
Would you like your son to watch Airplane?
Airplane.
Yeah.
I think I watched Airplane.
Love Airplane.
Before I was...
Charlie liked Airplane.
That's where I developed my drinking problem.
Yeah, I love Airplane. That's good, Charlie. There's boobies in Airplane, too, but yeah, I guess he's old enough to see some of that.
Boobies!
They see everything on the internet. Who are we kidding? You're right. But I did make him turn away during the Lacey Underall scene.
Did you?
Yeah, I was like, you can't watch this.
Come on, he's still 12. It would set your standard too high.
My dad was married at 12.
And she's still a small... I mean, like, not, well, not, not today.
Well, she's dead.
Is she?
Oh, yeah, she died in the last 12 months.
She is an absolute smoke show in that movie.
Yeah. And she carries herself exceptionally sexy in it, doesn't she?
Dreary old Manhattan.
I mean, just 99 on the black. I mean, just...
When he's fumbling with the oil and... Oh,
God.
Chevy Chase.
She's just incredible in that movie.
You've got a $60,000 check.
$75,000.
Yeah.
Keep it. It's yours.
Then he goes and puts the top on the fizzy water.
Pierre. Yeah. What is it?
Perrier water.
Yeah.
Whoa. See, Tyler.
There are some classic scenes.
Tyler's like, why is that funny?
So many classic scenes.
Whoa. Where do you live? Two, Breyer.
You're over there on Breyer, aren't you?
You got a pool, right? You got a pool?
We got a pond in the back.
That'd be great for you.
Natural spring.
This brings back classic.
This is African sesame.
I'm just going to clean this up a little. Oh, it looks good to me.
It's a hybrid.
You don't mind if I play it through, do you?
African sesame.
Look, that is.
You can play on it and smoke it at the same time.
Carl, maybe just open up a window and give me a wedge here. It's the best.
Now you've got me inspired to watch it.
Sorry, man. We kept you. We kept you too long, golfer.
Can't talk to you, Frank.
Yeah.
Ty.
Frank. How do you measure yourself against other golfers? By height.
It's just so good. All right.
Did I tell you to joke about that? You guys have a great show.
I mean,
we just gave away the whole movie.
I know. We're giving away the whole thing. You guys have a great show. All right. We'll see Cork and Carrie at the park tomorrow.
Give me the speech as he's christening his ship.
It's easy to grin when your ship comes in, when you've got the stock market beat. But the man worthwhile is the man who can smile when his shorts are too tight in the seat.
Flying wasp.
I christened me Flying wasp. All right, we'll see.
How did Gio not love that?
I don't know. He didn't love it at all. We'll see you guys tomorrow.